Our reading is from John's account of the life of Jesus, reading in chapter 1 at verse 35. We read together the word of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading from his most holy word. I sometimes find it interesting to look at a well-known verse of the Bible in a different translation, or perhaps in a paraphrase like the one written by Eugene Peterson, whom you may have read of. In his paraphrase, The Message, we read this version of John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." You may be more familiar with those words in another translation. This year, of course, we are celebrating 400 years since the translation of the King James Version of the Bible, where those words are rendered like this: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. In the reading that I brought to you from John's Gospel this morning, we meet the living, breathing Word made flesh in his own neighbourhood. Before we move on to think of that story together, one of the great encouragements of being part of the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever that church meets, is hearing the story of Jesus at work in the neighbourhood. And so part of the work of the presbytery is to hear the story of a church family such as this, to celebrate with you in all of the good things that are part of your church family life here together, to share with you in the things that are a challenge and a struggle. And often what we find is in the sharing of that burden that the challenges and the struggles that we are facing here as a church family are actually the story of struggles that other people are having too. And so we are able to identify with those struggles and share with one another in fellowship and in prayer. the Lord Jesus Christ is present in this church family, in this neighbourhood, just as he was in the reading this morning. John looks up and identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God. And of course, to the hearers there on that first day, there would be the recollection of the sacrificial lamb brought each Passover, signifying the freedom that God had brought to his people from captivity in Egypt. This Jesus would bring freedom to all people, just as the angel heralded on the first Christmas. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. As we read together the written word of God, we encounter the word made flesh in Jesus. And we begin to discover the plans of God unfolding through time and eternity, right through the days of history to our present time. The two disciples start to follow Jesus. Now, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, so Jesus is walking ahead of them, and they are some way behind. We don't know how far behind, but they kind of start to follow. And you sort of wonder, is Jesus aware that there's this presence of people behind him? You know that you sometimes see in these films on the television, and it's a detective story, and there's a private eye trying to follow people, and he ducks behind a pillar to hide, and then he appears again. I'm not sure, but if you actually try and visualise this scene in your mind, I'm not sure what was happening. And then Jesus simply turns around and says, "What do you want?" And I wonder actually if these two, they were a bit startled. What do we want? Where are you staying? Maybe they were caught a little off guard. And then this amazing invitation from Jesus. Come and you will see. And it's an interesting thing, this, because might it be that although those two men were following Jesus, in actual fact, it was Jesus who was seeking them. And is that not so much the story of our lives, here and now, in our journey of faith? In our following of Jesus, however faltering and unsure at times, we often discover that he is the one who is there before us. He is the one who is seeking after us. He is the one who is calling our name. Come. Come and you will see. Come and you will see that I am the one who shows you the way to go. Come and you will see that I am the one who leads you to the truth in all its fullness. Come and you will see that I am the one who gives you life now and forevermore. And as Jesus calls us personally, so he calls you together as a church family here in St. Paul's in Mulgai. Come. Come and you will see, my children, the plans that I have for you, as you witness to the truth of the good news in your community and wherever I take you. come and you will see. We read that in response to Jesus' invitation, John's two disciples, and the phrase that you'll see in the scripture says that they spent that day with him. Picture, if you will, that scene in your mind. I wonder what happened that day. Where did they go with Jesus? Did they go for a walk together? Did they stay in the house? What was said as they talked to Jesus? Was there laughter? Were there tears? Was there that wonderful feeling? You know that feeling that you get when you connect with somebody and you feel like you've known them forever, and a coffee that was meant to last for an hour becomes 2 hours, and then 3 or 4 coffees later there's lunch? Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I am enthralled by this morning. These people spent that day with Jesus. And you know, it made such an impression on one of them, Andrew, that the first thing that he did was to go and find his brother. And he brought him to Jesus. Something for Andrew that day could not contain him. And he had to go and find his brother. Come and meet this man. Excuse me, there are echoes of this throughout the New Testament. Think, if you will, for a moment of the woman who met Jesus at the well, Samaritan woman. And Jesus knew all about the shades and the darkness of her life, yet loved her still. And her testimony as she went back to her people would be, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. There was something about Jesus that made a deep impression upon the people who met him. And I'm sure that that is the story of the three people who in a short time here will stand and give testimony to their encounter with the living Christ. And for all of us here this morning, for as we hear these people make their solemn vows of commitment before Christ and this gathered community this morning, there is there a memory for us of when we did the same. When was the last time you spent the day with Jesus? You could be tempted at this point to say, well, Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus and the rest is history, because of course we know the unfolding story as he was given the name Peter. And of course Simon Peter would go on to play such a key role as one of Jesus' disciples. But I wonder for us today, who are the Andrews in this church here in St. Paul's, Mulgay? Who are the people who, having met Jesus themselves, cannot wait to bring others along? This is not about some forceful bashing of people over the head. This is about living the reality of sharing a life with Jesus, where all we know of Jesus, we long to share with other people. It's so exciting to be here with you on this Sunday. Throughout the presbytery of Dumbarton last year, if my calculations and my memory is correct, only 49 new members joined the churches in the presbytery of Dumbarton. That's wonderful that 49 joined. But it's a real challenge to us, isn't it? To be a vibrant, living community of faith. That we would be a community who are praying for one another. That God would encourage the Andrews amongst us. That God would take each of us in our own way to live the testimony of the gospel that has transformed our lives. Being with Jesus, knowing Jesus, changes us from the inside out. It is one of the most thrilling encounters that we can ever have in our lives. And when we meet Jesus at the different points that we meet him in our journey, we are never the same again. My prayer for all of you this morning is that you would be encouraged by the life of faith that you share here in this church. I would encourage you to pray for one another, to pray for your ministry team and your office bearers, but also to pray for the person sitting on your left and in your right in church, the person in front of you and the person behind you, that together you may be blessed in your faith in this place, and that the community around you here in Mulgai will know that there is a Jesus whom they can meet and they can spend the days of their lives in his living presence. Thanks be to God for his word to us this day, and to his name be the praise and the glory.